The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show.
I overate at lunch. I don't know how Pritzker lets himself get like that. Really, I overate one meal. I want to run around the block. We will tackle the sewer of Chicago and the nonsense that's going on in the Democrat mafia-run hellhole that was once a great city. And then we'll discuss also what happened to Illinois and how the moron Illinois voter will continue to vote for Porky Pritzker. The rest
I'm
of it.
I'm too fat.
So if I'm a little slow today, blame 100 South, who, by the way, made a spectacular pub burger with a little blue cheese, some grilled onion. I couldn't stop eating it, even though I was full. That's how Democrats get to look the way they do. But here we are. Anyway, speaking of morons, Biden gave a town hall yesterday. Now, I want to say something. There were times during the Trump presidency when I would cringe at some of the stuff he would say. I really would. I'd be like, oh, that's not going to be good. It's going to be an opportunity to be attacked. And I got why he said a lot of what he said. He was constantly under assault. He used to be attacked daily, minute by minute. It was really something to watch. And I always loved how he could speak off the cuff. His stuff wasn't prepared for, and he could have and convey and articulate a fluid intention or a thought. Even if you didn't like it, you had to appreciate his candor and his. He was speaking what he believed. Joe Biden has made a career from being a political whore who has been able to be a chameleon the whole time, enriching himself while he prostituted political power. But to watch this sad excuse of a man, really, it's tragic. It's a tragic embarrassment. And it's more evidence, as if you didn't have enough, that the Democrats have no standard. They have no minimum. They have no character. They have no integrity. They have nothing except the mission of collectivism. That's what their mission is. They will lie, cheat, and steal to get there. Because what they understand is once they are there, they are gods among men, like all socialist tyrants. That's why a certain section of society always pushes this idea where government is in control of everything. And we are just the slaves that inhabit the area. That's what they shoot for. But yesterday, when Joe Biden was speaking, it reminded me so much of all of the stories and the real history I've covered of how once great countries turned into hopeless, futile systems. Europe, Eastern Europe, South America, all over, everywhere it's tried, it ends in the same chaos. And you're seeing it in Cuba right now, which was the gem, the objective of all communists and collectivists. We've used other examples, and we'll always have examples. I was hoping that America would not be one. But as I watch what's in control of this country, it is painfully evident that, unfortunately, when you can look to somebody like this, who sits in the most powerful office in the world, a man this incapable, this feeble, this dementia-ridden.
That's underway, just like the other question that's illogical. And I've heard you speak about it because you always, I'm not being solicitous, but you're always straight up about what you're doing. Yeah. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved. Yeah. That's underway, too. I expect that to occur quickly.
Well, that means, you mean for the FDA?
For the FDA. Yeah.
This reminds me of when you're a kid and you're forced to go to the family events, and you've always got that one uncle whose socks matches pants, and he's got the white shoes on, And he's a moron. He's an embarrassment. And every time he opens his mouth, the poor sucker that's married to him just cringes. And everybody at the table wants to say, shut up, dummy. But nobody does because they're civilized. This is the kind of person we now have running the country. Now, as you hear him talk, you realize he is unfit and incapable to do anything. Unfortunately, he should be in a home waiting for the rice pudding. And his only real question he should be asked and have to answer is, do you want cinnamon or no cinnamon? That's what he should be in charge of, and only that. But here we are where Democrats and socialists and communists and Marxists from all over pick this idiot to be in charge of the most powerful country in the world. And the reason is they wanted to implement that vision of a society where the government controls every aspect of it. So as I heard him talk about other questions yesterday, specifically business and inflation, it really kind of tells you what our future is. And our future is going to be very similar to Italy after World War II. And I'm going to prove it to you.
Secondly, John, my guess is that people being $7, $8 an hour plus tips, that's, I think, John, you're going to be finding $15 an hour or more now. But you may pay that already.
Now, I was a waiter. I used the money I made in tips to buy a car. I used it to go to college. I used it as a fill-in, as I did, and I'm sure many and many of you did. And the nice thing about being a waiter is you were never really concerned with the hourly because you knew the better you were, the better the tip was, and the better you did. That's what real economy looks like. But when government can come in, especially the kind of government where we are now made up, both in the Congress and the Senate, of people who've never really worked for the most part. There's but a small fraction who have. Now, government is going to come into business, and it's going to say, in order to have people, you're going to have to beat our welfare system. And by the way, you're going to have to pay what we say you have to pay, regardless of the area. $15 is a lot different in Manhattan than it is in some suburb in southern Illinois. It's a lot different, and it's a lot more damning. In fact, it is the difference between being in business and being out of business. So when you put all these factors together and you realize that right now, in particular, Illinois is running at about 40 to 50% of businesses that were open prior to the government shutdown is open again. So that's it. You only got 50%. So all of this talk you hear on even Fox Business that the economy is roaring, it is a lie. It is really sold to you because we have pumped trillions of dollars of new debt into the economy to imitate the velocity of an economy. So they shut it down, but they create all this phony money and they try to pump it out. And they try creative ways to get it into different sectors. But nonetheless, it's not real. It's not real economy. It's not real private money. It is new debt. Okay, so you've got this going on. None of those businesses that are still closed are ever going to come back. So when the reality of those businesses, not paying rent, not hiring people, when that hits, the welfare rolls will be exactly where they are today. Very heavy, and they will be heavier, and it'll be longer. And those people on those welfare rolls are the new Democrats because they have to continue to vote for their sustenance. That's why Joe Biden can say this with he can say it with a straight face because he doesn't know what the hell he's reading or doesn't know what he's talking about. So he has that dead look in his face, like all, unfortunately, people with mental problems get. Their eyes are like sharks and they can't really focus or convey a thought. That's what Joe Biden is doing. So as you hear him talk about inflation, you realize just how bad of a situation we're in because we're 6 months into this idiot, 6 months into his term. It's going to be a very long 3 years and 6 months, especially when he shows you his philosophy here.
I'm pretty confident that inflation is temporary, but if you're pumping all of this money into the economy, couldn't that add to...
No, look, here's the deal. Moody's today, when a Wall Street firm, not some liberal...
Now, Moody's and these Wall Street firms that approve of free money, they approve of that free money because they get it. It benefits them. The stock market, that's why I don't call it a stock market anymore. It is a Keynesian index. It's not real. Down 700, up 700. All of it is fake because it's all being promulgated on debt, on phony money to very specific people. So they'll say whatever they have to say to get this money because Wall Street and corporatists are always going to want the favoritism and the free or low interest money that is created by government. So they're like climate scientists that stay in business by selling wrong answers and wrong policies, but they're selling it to a government that keeps paying them to do it.
think tank, said if we pass the other two things I'm trying to get done, we will in fact reduce inflation, because we're going to be providing good opportunities and jobs for people who in fact are going to be reinvesting that money back in all the things we're talking about.
None of that's true. And all of that is the recipe. That is literally the schematic to build a failed socialist nation that is really quite hopeless. And it's all of those things that we discuss time in and time out of what made America capable to be the richest and the strongest, with the people, the citizens with the greatest opportunity to have upward mobility is capitalism. None of what Joe Biden and the Marxist mafia calling themselves Democrats speak of has anything to do with capitalism. So when they're asked about the reality of small business, they give you nonsense answers, as Pippi Liestocking gave today when asked the question. She gave the best non-answer that I have heard since the Barack Obama years.
Jen, last night at the CNN town hall, the president was asked by a restaurateur about the worker shortage that the Commerce Secretary just called acute. She described it as a skills gap, but the restaurateur said that he had, right now, job openings that he can't fill, and he asked the president if there's anything that his administration can do to help him and his business. The president seemed to struggle with an answer. Is there anything that his administration can do to help that restaurateur or people who are similarly situated with this acute worker shortage?
Well, first, I would say that we have already implemented, and the money's gone out the door, continues to go out the door for our restaurant restabilization program, something that was a part of the American Rescue Plan and helped many, many hundreds of restaurants across the country stay open, reopen, and that was assistance that came from the American Rescue Plan.
It's my favorite thing, because what she's discussing is a loan that most restaurants would never have taken. Some restaurants didn't want to take. And now there are various restaurants that can never pay back. So that money is literally down the black hole of socialism. That's gone. So the only way that that money can come back is by taxing these citizens. So it's a failure that feeds on itself. And it leads me to realize why is, I'm going to use it as an example because we all kind of are aware of what happened to Italy after World War II, after they pretended to get rid of the fascist, El Doce. The reality is they were so in a dead end system that they just pretended to continue to do it, and they do it. And it steals away the opportunity for people to get out from under their welfare lives. So they have a very mediocrity. They don't have a middle class. They just have welfare people and government people and people that somehow become oligarchs in that system. And that is exactly what is going to happen to this country. And what it does is it steals what could be from you. It steals the opportunity of people to come to this country and do the things that so many immigrants and so many Americans do, and that is to build themselves up to be very successful. Under the Joe Biden economy and the Democrat regime, you are going to be truly on a spinning wheel of taxation, spend, and excuses and lies. And it is going to end in the futility and the hopelessness of so many other countries that practice this kind of economy. And I have yet to really hear an articulate argument from any Republican as to why to fight this back. Now, we celebrated the fact that that bill was defeated, but you do realize there will be another one, and it will be next week, and it will be bigger, and it will be with higher problems and higher taxation. When I get back, I want to play you something. 312-642-5600. Is that the Pritzker campaign song? I'm pretty sure it should be. How the hell could you look at this guy and say, I want him to run anything? Every time I look at him, I want to repat my Tonka Toilets idea. I told you I had an idea for the biggins. Karen Lewis really inspired me before she found a diet that worked. And what I wanted to do is build the toilet for the chubbies, because, you know, they turn that thing into a thimble. So I wanted to have the big sides with the little handles so they could get up. I think that's probably what Pritzker is implementing now. I just wanted to copyright and manufacture it. But with these kind of costs, this kind of government dictate, can't even get that company off the ground anymore. Tonka Toilets, I think it's a big winner, especially for the fatties. Sell them. You'd do really well in Democrat neighborhoods. Of course, you'd get shot delivering the product, but you'd do really well. Inflation is something that the Democrats don't want to talk about. All right. Year over year, it's 7%. It's unheard of. You can't pump this kind of money out without creating it. And there are stories even on let's call them Soviet propaganda stations that are even starting to realize that inflation is real.
Rising inflation is causing dramatic price increases for staples like food and gas, so you're probably feeling it. And this is negatively impacting Americans, as some experts are sounding the alarm to expect more of the same or worse. CNN's Vanessa Yurkevich is joining us now. This is so important. I know that people are very curious about how this is going to affect their pocketbook, and the alarm is being sounded.
Absolutely. And Americans, and especially small business owners, are paying very close attention to these rising prices. President Biden was asked about this last night in the CNN town hall, and he says it's rational for prices to be higher because the economy is reopening.
Moron. Moron. That, none of that makes sense. But what happens when those costs are higher is they're higher for your employer, right? So you're choking the opportunity for businesses to reopen and be started. You're choking it out. This is exactly what happens in socialist countries. It's exactly what I used to hear my grandfather, who was very proud about being Italian, argue against the post-fascist socialism of Italy. It is why, for instance, when the government comes in and you're competing with a welfare system, and then the government is telling you that you have to pay somebody a minimum wage. In America, when you pay somebody $15 an hour, you're really paying them $21 an hour. There's federal insurance contributions. There's Social Security contributions. There's unemployment insurance contributions. So when your employer gives you $15, your cost to that employer is $21 an hour. This is exactly what happened in Europe. So what used to happen in Italy specifically is that the business that the grandfather was in is the business that everybody was in. And what it really does, if you just step back for a moment, is it takes away the kids, your heirs, it takes away their freedom and their mobility to be what they could be under a capitalist system. I've mentioned this before, but it's my favorite example because everyone knows who Pavarotti is. Everybody knows who Pavarotti is. Nobody knows who his father was. His father was a baker, and so was his father. Pavarotti was supposed to be a baker because they couldn't afford to hire anybody in a socialist system. So when you make your kids work, you don't have to pay them. And the government stays out of it because it's the same name. But what does it take away from society? Because most people don't understand. I think Pavarotti's probably the greatest singer ever, bar none. In fact, it's hard not to watch him and be affected by his voice and what he makes you feel. But what if he wasn't the best Pavarotti?
Luciano always had a very beautiful voice, subtle, high. His father, Fernando Pavarotti, had a voice just as beautiful. He was the greatest tenor that I've ever heard, an exceptional voice. In 1957, Fernando Pavarotti sang La Giana in Cork. I remember the incredible high notes. The maestro gave us the pitch for La Giana. I took it even higher. It was Julie with a little more fat.
Grande tenor Fernando.
Right, Fernando? An Irish newspaper ran the headline, Fernando is a world-class tenor.
And nobody knew it. And you know what kept that away from society? Socialism. As it kept the artists, the philosophers, the doctors, the great minds of society. That's what socialism steals from a society. Nobody knew it. He was better than his son, and nobody heard it. It's a bandit tape. How did it sound to you? See, there are real world ramifications of this ideology of hopelessness and dead end and feudalism. That's what Joe Biden and the Marxists represent. A hopeless society with no future. And that's why they must be rejected. 312-642-5600. Pavarotti and Prince. I like it, baby. Pavarotti and Prince. You're in the beginning stages of this failure that we call the Biden years. The reality is, with this kind of policy, with this kind of ideology, the hopelessness that will follow will be devastating. It will forever change the course of the future. However, there are very progressive, as they call themselves, regressive as they really are, Marxists out there like Abby Phillips, a CNN correspondent, who is a hardcore communist sympathizer. And she is willing to state the obvious that Joe Biden is not a Democrat. Joe Biden is a hardcore America-slaying Marxist.
Policy is very progressive. The policy is not, moderate. This is someone who is proposing $3.5 trillion in spending and a reconciliation bill on top of over $1 trillion in spending on an infrastructure bill.
On top of the $9 trillion the COVID shutdown has already cost us. On top of the fact we've got about between 50 and 60% of businesses that are not open that were open. It's an old saying in the trading world. If you're hoping to get even, you already lost. The fact that we're calling an economy booming, we're ignoring the reality of its failure and inflation, and we're continuing down this path of the Weimar Republic tells you that it will not be long before your grandkids and your kids do not have the ability to be what they could have been here in America. That is what the socialist, the butter-handed Democrat-voting Marxist took away from you when they put this feeble fascist lowlife in charge of the country. That's what they did. I hope everybody learns how to recognize it. David in Lansing.
Hey, Sean. I'm going into zombie mode. After Biden's little speech on inflation, I'm joining him, man. I'm going to believe.
Go ahead, because under this system, it'll be like a Chicagoan and like an Illinoisan. It's better to be on welfare than the guy that's funding it. And that's what they're hoping. And that's why all of the other failures that they pretend they're concerned about, like the border, like all the rest of it, they're loving this. Because what they understand is the economy shrinks, the welfare rolls grow, and so does the base that will vote for this kind of fraud. Now, before they were just before he was just put in by the rest of the Democrats, those who are corrupt in on the scam and those too stupid to see it, but covetous enough to hope that Marxism comes to America. Now,
perpetual motion.
Exactly. And now the next election with the Congress, it'll be more free stuff, more entitlements, more of a utopia in the same way they took away Europe and Eastern Europe and South America. This is the real deal here in diapers Biden, the feeble fascist. Bob in Park Ridge. Hi, Bob. Bob, you there? All right. I'll go to gave you three times. Joe in Dundee. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Sean. I love the four tenors.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Italian people. The Orgel brothers gave me my start as a busboy at 13.
Sure, sure.
My brothers worked there. My two friends, Wolf and Butterfield.
Keep your eye on the Sicilians.
My main point.
Okay, go ahead.
My main point for calling in is about the Grand Poobah, Yabba Dabba Doo.
Uh-huh. And the hopelessness that he's created in Illinois.
Well, is he not the governor of the entire state? If the mayor of Chicago doesn't want to do anything about street crime, should he not be responsible? I mean, he announced that he's running again.
Yeah. Listen, this is Illinois. I mean, you know, to be quite honest with you, Joe, I'm going to be quite honest with you. Illinois, to me, is inhabited by people who like this kind of fascistic failure. They benefit from it. Illinois is unfortunately, a Marxist mafia hub. It's where the people who are in the scam love it, and they'll keep funding it. And the people who are too stupid to see it just hope for welfare payments.
Sean, we had a Republican governor just three short years ago. Who is your pick? I like Jeannie Ives.
Well, yeah. Well, first of all, to call Bruce Rauner a Republican, I think, is a stretch. To say that he achieved anything under the principles and foundation of capitalism, even, I think you're really pointing out some very, very specific things that he might have put in motion but have been erased. So he didn't do anything of substance. He didn't do anything of change. And here's the proof. The minute he lost, what the hell did he do? He packed up and got the hell out of there. That's how you know even he admitted he did nothing, Joe. So Illinois is a different thing. I'm more concerned with the country. Illinois has been long gone for decades. It's the country we have to worry about. Thank you very much. Teresa on the north side.
Hi, Sean.
Hi.
You know what you said at the top of the show? Biden is suffering from dementia. I mean, that's obvious to anyone with a brain. But remember, the Democrats are the party of compassion. No one with compassion would allow someone with dementia to go on any stage and make a fool out of themselves.
I don't want to give them that Trojan horse that they gave themselves. I don't think it's compassionate to be a fascist. I don't think it's compassionate to be a Marxist. I don't think it's compassionate to have every policy you have rooted in extortion and force. Yet you cannot point to a Democrat policy that is not rooted in force, in capitulation, in coercion. They are the American Fascist Party. Now, whether they, you know, the reason you think that they are benign and the party of caring is because they all have those butter hands and that soft, useless body. They're all built the same way. They all look like Dick Durbin in different heights. That's why you think of them that way. Even the women, by the way. But that's why you think of them that way. And they don't deserve that grace. So I'm not willing to call them compassionate because I think that socialism and fascism and Marxism and communism is responsible because of fact for well over 130 million deaths around the world. And it's just a matter of time before this country has to go to that strong man force. Now, they're going to try to do it with law as the weapon, but ultimately they're going to be backed in the corner. And I'm curious to see what happens. I just hope I can still stay in shape. That's just me. Don in Bloomingdale.
Hey, Sean. About 20 years ago, I visited Ukraine. I was in the middle of the country in a collective farming area right after the Russians left. They left everything behind. They had beautiful farm equipment sitting out in the fields just rusting. And what happened was the Ukrainians just watched it happen. They didn't pick them up, turn them on, and start farming. They just stood there as if they didn't know what to do. But they've been doing it their whole lives, but they were slave-driven because the Russians were telling them what to do.
So it's funny you talk about that, because as you see what's happening now, as the government is threatening to reimpose mask mandates, and they're threatening to sell you back your freedom if you capitulate to their vaccine. It's kind of interesting to realize just here in this country how readily we adopted that slave mindset. You know, I noticed it when the businesses were shut down. That's when I really said to myself, how could these American capitalists allow themselves to be shut down? And then you realize they were being persecuted through the misuse of law if they had the audacity to stay open in unfriendly climates. Now, there may have been little municipalities that protected their businesses, but for the most part, they were threatened from the strongest aspect of government, the governor's mansions and the federal government. And, you know, that's where I blame Trump. That is the greatest mistake of his presidency. He should have taken the hands-off approach of, I will not federally enforce an economic shutdown in the country. Let the states do it and let them suffer from what they've done. I think that's what I would have done, and I wish that's what he would have done. But here we are in the reality where an 80-year-old moron who can't get out of a room without a lit exit sign is in charge of things, and he's telling you about how to run an economy, and he's never had a job or never paid for anything. Joe Biden never paid for anything. You think he ever had an employee? And if he did, you paid for it. This is the problem.
That guy knows
how
to write a check?
No, I don't think he does. Yeah. And would you let him? You think he could figure out the zeros? I don't think he could. Thank you so much, Don. I appreciate it. How many zeros are in a trillion? We'll discuss that and more when we get back. 312-642-5600.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
One of my favorites. This is one of my all-time favorites. Love this song. You know, the problem of giving in to fascists, it's like giving in to a bully. Gets harder and harder to stop being a victim. It's just the reality of things. As I listen to this trust fund butter-handed buffoon at 400 pounds with his face laying on his chest as he ate his neck away, boss me around, I find it very, very difficult. In fact, it inspired me to get the hell out of here and live like I was his wife. Happy, he was 1,800 miles away, and I was in the free state of Florida. Turns out he's threatening us again.
J.B. Pritzker is reserving the right to order another emergency shutdown if the pandemic resurges here.
Should that happen, the governor said the rules would be different than last year.
He talked about it in a one-on-one interview with our political editor, Mike Flannery.
Who's an idiot? Mike Flannery's an idiot. Investigative reporter in this state, in this city for 30 years. Well, the greatest political mafia was built under the nose of the investigative reporters, under the FBI, and all the rest of it. The people who were supposed to do something about it. Mike Flannery makes me sick.
Governor said he's concerned about one neighboring state in particular where the vaccination rate is far lower than in Illinois.
Missouri is a good example. That's the worst state in the nation right now. And it's right on our border, and it's pouring over.
Now do the numbers. Let's do the numbers of Florida, Missouri. Let's do all the numbers of the deaths from COVID. Are they bigger than that 0.5%? Let's see how they fared versus the totalitarian, bankrupt welfare state of Illinois.
Fortunately, across the border,
some Republican governors have explicitly ruled out another round of pandemic-related shutdowns in their states.
And
something Pritzker said
that's the difference between freedom and tyranny. They ruled it out. We are just a governor. We do not have the authority to take away your life and your livelihood, as it should have been done the first time. And it was in Florida. All right, let's go to the line. Cindy in Sugar Grove. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, hi, Sean.
How are you?
I just want to thank you for your show. I've just recently gotten to know about you and some of the other men, you know, and women that have been standing for conservative values, and I just really appreciate all you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
So my thought, you had mentioned in the last, people that were on, one of the listeners, that Illinois is hopeless. So it just really, a realization came to my eyes that this year with the election in November that I think there's like a lot of fraud going on in Illinois, which I'm sure you'd agree with.
But, yeah, I'd agree.
Know, yeah, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, if I heard that that basically the Republican Party has kind of kept their hands off of certain areas and just kind of let the Democrats have their way, like Chicago, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
If the Republicans would get on their feet and start, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, do you think there might be a chance we could take it back?
I personally do not. I understand and I admire the people who do, however, but I will look at this in a different fashion. If you have a group of people that will tolerate the kind of mafia the Democrat Party of Chicago and Illinois have become, and will continue to vote for them, then there is no hope, in my mind, right? So you have a sitting governor, a Pritzker, riddled in scandal for decades, on FBI tapes with a governor who went to prison, cutting up Illinois and the offices of Illinois as if they were a pot of a poker game. A man who was riddled in scandal with banking scandals, with real estate scandals, with every scandal in the world. Yet here's the welfare citizen of Illinois, those who already live in a ghetto and just want to have more money to have while living in the ghetto and are not fighting for principles of freedom or Americanism. And they say, okay, that's my, I like the cut of that guy's jib. I'll vote for him. Game over. That was the signal. Right. And then you had Republicans who couldn't recognize the failure that was 7 foot of stupid Bruce Rauner, who was more willing to compromise with bad ideas and communism and socialism to get along with them than to stand up for principles and fight them. And they had an opportunity to get him out of the way and get somebody who was running against him in a primary. And they said, no, I'm going to vote with him. That's it. Nail in the coffin. Done. Over with. So I think the answer is no. And that's why, Cindy, I only sell real estate in Florida because I would never sell a bankrupt state. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Miles on 294. How are you, Miles?
Hi. Pretty good, Sean. I just wanted to say you interviewed Dinesh D'Souza a while back, and I tried but I was at the Central DuPage Hospital in a cardiac department with a relative. But Dinesh D'Souza and this fascism goes back 6 years. That poor guy contributed too much money to a Senate campaign, and they prosecuted him criminally.
Yes.
And when they gave him his sentence, the judge ordered a psychological evaluation, just like the commies used to do to the Russian scientists who were supporting Israel.
The similarities are... Yeah.
Something wrong with D'Souza. He ordered a second doctor to look at him.
Uh-huh.
So this fascism, for anybody who speaks up against the Democrats, and back then it was Obama, they use the full force of law against everybody.
Yet, if you're related to Pelosi or you work in her office, you can make a very sophisticated option play that guarantees profits because she's voting on the bill that secured it. So, yeah, that's very legal. And to contribute to somebody running against that kind of fraud, corruption, and thievery, that's illegal. Gotta love it. Just like Italy. 312-642-5600.
From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America. He's here to seize back our rights from the government with a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other. He's Sean Thompson, and this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me, so everybody just follow me.
I like to call it the Von Mises Institute. I still think it is called the Von Mises Institute. However, it's Mises.org. It's a great institute. It's one of the few think tanks, few places where principles of Americanism are really paid attention to in virtually every story. Theo Bishop is the assistant editor for the Mises Wire. Theo Bishop. Prior to that is a very interesting job. He has a very interesting perspective. He was the deputy communications director for the House Financial Services Committee, and I want to know how many showers it took him to get clean after that job. Tho, how are you?
No, doing great. So it's such an honor to join you.
Thank you so much. I'm so appreciative you did. I apologize for mispronouncing your name the first time. It won't happen again.
Been caught much worse.
So now you have a very interesting article that I wanted to talk about, and it's the inflation rising. It's the fact that we are really being subverted by our government, right? We've tried to make friends and get along with this socialist hybrid system we have. We've printed up an unimaginable amount of money. We are in uncharted waters where it looks to me like there is no backing out of it. And you have an article that says, with inflation rising, can the American right learn from El Salvador? And I find this very, very interesting because I really do feel at this point of what our American government has done to the American dollar, the only answer is to walk away from it. What do you think about how radical that is?
Well, I think you're 100% correct. And the good thing is that once you start recognizing that there is no political will in the system that we have now to fix these problems that have taken decades of bipartisan agreement on reckless spending, giving the Fed tools that we've never seen in human history. I think it's so easy for Americans. Money's the lifeblood of any economy, and it's something that's so... It's just a part of our daily life. It's difficult for us to fully appreciate that this experiment with a totally unbacked currency manipulated by academics, right, who have such a great record right now on everything else they touch, this is a radical period of history. And, you know, the degree to which this money's always played a very important role in the power of government. Because when the government prints more money, it gives them more control over the resources of our nation. This environment we're living in now is a radical time, and this is one area where even some people, there's so many great commentators on the right that recognize the danger of the CDC and technocrats, and even like the Tucker Carlson sort of recognizing corporate interests that don't really care about America anymore. The Fed is the biggest blind spot, I think, and so that's why, you know, The Institute tries to offer some insight on that, and so happy to join you on this particular topic.
And so the reality is, I would almost be more comfortable if it was really academics that are doing this to us. It's political whores that are doing this to us. The academics like Keynes, who I disagree with on everything. I realize the only reason he even promoted his so-called theory that he adopted was because he was a terrible capitalist and got killed every time he tried to open something or invest in something. So he had this idea of the beginning of corporatism and thought that it would be very helpful. That his timing was perfect because it was as we had to rebuild after World War II. But even his idea of Keynesian principles in his theory, he would have never supported this kind of reckless destruction of what was agreed to be the world currency. And in essence, doesn't it give a real good reason why other nations should abandon the dollar as well?
Yes, but the American empire has abused its position. And what's really interesting right now is that a couple of years ago, the Bank of England, you know, which we have a special relationship, right? You know, even Mark Carney, the former head of the Bank of England, was acknowledging that America is abusing its power right now with the way the Fed has acted since 2008. This is a very long problem. And that, you know, that for that reason, it is worthwhile looking at other solutions. The dangerous thing, though, is just the way that we've seen it in so many other areas of global politics, the answer, they don't have a good answer to what a post-dollar global, you know, currency would look like. They want to get more power centralized, like the IMF and the World Bank and things like that. But this is something that other banks that are otherwise favorable to us, I'm not talking about China, I'm talking about Russia, I'm talking about our allies, are recognizing that we have weaponized the dollar against the rest of the world.
And when you look at what El Salvador did, and the real controversy, which was really not a controversy at all, is that they agreed to take a cyber currency that was in circulation for years, that was an alternative to the U.S. dollar, because it really embodied the principles that the dollar was built on and used to embody. What, in your opinion, is the future look like when it comes to cyber currencies, Bitcoin specifically?
Well, I think Bitcoin in particular is, there's aspects of Bitcoin in that it is very boring. There's not all these bells and whistles to it. Some other, like Ethereum, there's a whole network of, obviously, of cryptocurrencies out there. The value of Bitcoin being boring, though, is that there's not like a centralizing aspect to it. There's an Ethereum Foundation. There are founders of cryptocurrencies that a jet went down with them in it. It really impacts things. Bitcoin has the potential of being sort of a digital gold sort of aspect, in part because it has a fixed, only 21 million Bitcoin that can ever be mined. It is the most decentralized cryptocurrency out there. It's the longest lasting one. And so I think that Bitcoin has the potential of being one of those answers. But I think in general, though, this populist movement that we see, not just with the Trumpening in the U.S. and Brexit in the U.K., but kind of globally, with political, conservative movements of the world kind of recognizing some of the threats abroad, out there institutionally to us. I think in general, what we're going to end up seeing is a greater conflict between this attempt at a post-Fed globalist-controlled sort of currency versus a variety of private money, whether it's gold, whether it's cryptocurrency, whether it's whatever that is not controlled by, a certain group of academics and technocrats. I think this is going to increasingly be an issue. And we already see that playing out. Like Janet Yellen is out there trying to create a global a minimum for corporate tax rates. I think we're going to start seeing more and more of an escalation from financial authorities around the world and developed markets wanting to synchronize their policies because of how extreme the global financial system has veered from what used to be thought of as the realms of acceptable policy. Again, after the aftermath of 08, we never got back to normal. No. And then COVID has escalated things in ways I don't think a lot of people recognize that.
And by El Salvador saying that we are accepting Bitcoin. Now, what that really means is that they are accepting it for everything that they do. In fact, if you have Bitcoin and you live in El Salvador, you can pay your taxes with it. You can do everything with it. Yeah. In America, why do you think, it was very successful here up until the government started to threaten it, started to try to take away the anonymity of it. Do you think that they're doing that to create their cyber version of the dollar? Or because they realize that more people have faith in a created cyber currency than they do the dollar, that as you sat as the communication director for House Financial Service Committee, you realize politicians do not have the gravitas to understand what it is they're passing in the destruction of their very currency.
I think a lot of academics at the Fed have been Bitcoin's been around since 2009. I think a lot of them were flat-footed because they're not used to really thinking about money. Like, that's a really scary thing. It's like you hear these Fed officials even talk about money. The amount of genuine thought about what it is, people would be surprised by how much of the experts don't really have the same sort of curiosity as a lot of the libertarians here online on these sort of issues. I think they're now picking up on it in the last few years. And you do see this interesting battle within the Fed itself between those that kind of recognize that things like Bitcoin pose a threat to their control over global monetary issues. The other side of it, though, also recognizes that this might be a potential. The ones that I think have better interests in mind, they recognize that America taking a very restrictive stand on this will stymie our ability to have American companies take advantage of it. And so there is that dynamic there. And I think that what we're going to see increasingly is that because of how much we spend, because of how much we print in this past year, I mean, the policies after 08 were extreme. What's happened this past year is even far beyond that. Just out of necessity of trying to keep things in place, I think we're going to end up seeing escalations between D.C. and Bitcoin probably, right? I'd like to be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're starting to already see, like China, for example. China's really cracked down in the last couple of months once again on Bitcoin. And I think that actually goes to show some of the weaknesses in the Chinese economy.
Yeah.
Because if China wanted to threaten the dollar globally, which some people should have claimed, oh, the violence gold because they want... If China really was interested in that, they would actually try to take advantage of the fact that the Chinese government owns a lot more Bitcoin than the U.S. government does. But they're trying to keep everything in place because their financial system is melting down and has for a while now. So there's going to be that tension between those in America that are trying to double down on the control versus those that see the opportunity for America to innovate. And ultimately, I think given with where the intersection of power and finance is, I think those trying to control are going to win out. And I think the consequences are with very negative effects as a result from that.
So we have the fact of history that this is not the first time countries have tried to do what it is we've done to ourselves, which is to fake the velocity of money by creating it and target spending in the hopes that you can buoy an economy that is drowning. We know what happened in the Weimar Republic, all of South America. We know that the Soviet Union ultimately had to admit that it failed. Will we be able to pull back from this, or are we unfortunately going at such a velocity towards the wall, we just have to hit it?
One thing that I do think is different about this time than some of these past incidents is that for everything the Fed is doing wrong, and the Mises.org is dedicated to highlighting, every day we have something new to complain about, America's not alone on that. Every other central bank is as bad, if not worse, than the Fed, with a few, very few exceptions. And so that's one thing, that's one of the reasons why America has not had the sort of inflationary pressures that you might expect from these radical increases of the money supply, is because everyone else is doing it. And so that creates sort of a relative sort of dynamic there. But I missed part of this, though. It's not only about inflationary pressures and the devaluing of currency. When the Fed creates and has these massive pumps, there is a real allocation of resources to the firms that are closest to the central bank. And that's one of these aspects that I am most concerned about. Because this consolidation of corporate power, you know, the rise of corporate mergers, big tech, for example, big tech has the amount of power it has because they've been able to take advantage of this very loose monetary environment to buy competitors. Facebook was able to buy Instagram, for example, because their debt is subsidized by our monetary policy, which allows them to acquire smaller firms, which strengthens their power. And so it's less about, in the short term, about the dollar collapsing relative to other currencies because everyone else is bad, as much as this additional aspect of the consolidation of economic power to those companies that are the closest to the Fed. And it's funny because you never see any leftists, with very few exceptions, talk about this issue, right? If the left really cared about income inequality or corporate tyranny, whatever they claim to care about, they would be out there talking about the Fed, which is Ron Paul did, but they don't care, though. That itself, I think, is in the short term, the biggest threat out there is often not talked about enough.
So I could talk to you for hours. Unfortunately, we have one segment. By the way, you know what I call that analogy you just gave? That's the crack house analogy, where everybody in it is a scumbag. We just happen to still have our teeth, right? I think that's fair enough.
Exactly.
All right, very good. I like that very much. So, Bishop, I want to thank you so much from Mises.org for joining me. I'm going to have you back. I truly enjoyed it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. We'll be back with your calls and comments after this. I like those kind of conversations. I really do. I think it's important that we understand exactly how we get in it. If you're going to figure out how to get out of it, you got to know how you got in it. The idea that we have a bunch of people making choices and decisions for us that most of us would have never agreed to. It's not just the economy. It turns out it's virtually everything. The economy is just what we lose in a country based on property rights and capitalism. It's also part of it as the fascism gets used to your economy. It starts to control business, starts to control rules and laws become weapons. It starts to then control behavior, right? So that's why we are now under this big push by the fascists pretending to be American representatives, which is the joke of all jokes, governors and all the rest of it, as they threaten us with different things. Ultimately, it's going to be about the real force when you resist. So as you know, if you listen to this show, I don't like the COVID story. I don't like it, and I don't give a rip what propaganda they tell me when they wheel out anti-Fauci. I don't like it. It's all a lot of BS to me. And I have always wanted to know how it was created. There are still a few politicians who wanted to know how it was created. But today, the Democrats, as China says to the UN and says to the world, nah, I don't think we're going to let you come in and investigate. You're going to buy our story about the bat and the cricket and the frog and all that nonsense, or you're just simply going to do nothing about it. The American people wanted to know what happened. So 55 days ago, a vote was held and it was passed. We want to know the origins of it, right? As you remember the emails between Fauci and his other idiot, Peter something, Zach, whatever it is. And you find out that we were financing this and it's gain of function, or as you used to be called, is weaponized viruses is what I think this is. And that's why it adapts. And that's why we got the variants. That's just my way to believe it. I believe it. And I don't give a rip what some butter-handed moron who would vote for Biden says. I don't care what you think. It's what I think. And I want to know from my government, am I right? Is this an attack on me and my country and my family? As I think it is, weaponized, and even more embarrassing, financed by American bureaucrats. Well, we wanted to know.
If we defeat the previous question, I will offer an amendment to the rule immediately and to immediately consider S-1867, the COVID Origin Act introduced by Senator Hawley. It has been 55 days since the Senate passed this critical bill without a single dissenting vote.
This bill calls for three things. The bill first establishes that we must identify the precise origins of COVID-19 because it's critical for preventing a similar pandemic in the future. Earlier this year, CDC Director Robert Redfield stated the most likely etiology of this pathogen in Wuhan was from a laboratory. Even Director General Tedros of the World Health Organization acknowledges that COVID-19 may have originated in a lab and thought it was worth investigating. Second, given this scientific opinions and a whole slew of evidence, including what I noted earlier, the bill establishes that we have reason to believe the COVID-19 pandemic may have originated in the Wuhan Institute of Virology in their lab. Finally, and this goes back to my original point about transparency, the bill requires the Director of National Intelligence to declassify as much evidence as possible that they can of what they know about the origin of COVID-19, what activity the Wuhan lab was conducting, and what we know about the researchers who reportedly fell ill back in 2019. The bill is about accountability for Americans who want to know, who deserve to know what caused this horrible scourge that took the lives of so many of our families and loved ones, that destroyed our businesses and livelihood, that robbed them of years of their lives. Actually, the whole world wants to know. It's critical to inform Congress so we can better prepare to stave off the next pandemic.
Let's remember the devastating effect that this pandemic has had in this country, with over 600,000 deaths and 4 million deaths worldwide. In May, Republicans on the House Intelligence Committee released an interim report outlining the growing evidence pointing to a possible lab leak of the COVID-19 virus. Here are the facts. Number one, we know based on numerous reports that the researchers at the Wuhan lab fell sick with COVID-related symptoms in the fall of 2019. Number two, we also know that there was active engagement by the Chinese military at the Wuhan lab. And three, we know that the Chinese government has continued to hinder efforts for data collection and transparency in this investigation. Essentially, Mr. Speaker, they have been non-transparent and non-cooperative.
Yet the House Democrats block the GOP request to declassify the intelligence. Why? Why would they block it? We all know what it did. We want to know where it came from. You did an investigation. You blocked our information. You blocked us from seeing it. I think we should absolutely demand it. I don't give a rip what a couple of corrupt political whores posing as senators and congressmen think. What do you think? 312-642-5600. See, I think people sometimes give government the benefit they would give somebody they love. Give benefit they'd give their wife or their husband or their child. See, you lie to me in the real world one time, you're done. You're done. This isn't baseball. I don't have tights on. I'm not trying to win one for the home team. This is real life. You lie one time, and that's it. Auntie Mary Fauci lied every time he opened his mouth. Every time, even the one time he admitted it. Oh, I didn't want everybody to get the masks. I wanted it to go to the special health care people, first responders. Okay. So you lied. Just a little bit. Well, now we're done, Fauci. Now we're done. Now you lie about Chinese investments into the Democrat Party. Swalwell, literally sleeping with a Chinese spy. What's the penalty? Oh, he's on the intelligence agency. Get the hell out of here. It's outrageous. Now you want me to believe you now. Now I got Republicans that say, well, just let's see what we already have. Let's show the investigation we already did to the people. And what do the rat Marxist Democrats do? Nah, you're not going to see it. And they block it with their parliamentary procedures. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. That's why when Rand Paul, tells Fauci, you're a liar, old man, and you're not fooling anybody.
Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Microphone.
Your microphone.
Turn on Senator microphone. Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
You lie all the time. Your whole life is a lie, Dr. Nobody. It's despicable. Yet he's got everybody's attention. All the tyrant Democrat slobs around the country like Pritzker. We're going to shut you down again. Mask mandates. That's why right now DeSantis says no. CNN's going to run a whole expose. How could he possibly leave decisions up to the American people? It's absolutely outrageous. Now here, if you believe in this and you want to stay in your house and lock your kids in, well, I'm sorry for your kids, but go do what you want to do, dummy. I don't care. Never leave your house. Wear your mask. Put your shield on. Walk around like you're in a space costume. I don't care. But don't you dare tell me what to do, ever. I don't understand this whole mindset the whole damn country's got. It's sickening to me. Drew and DuPage.
Sean, there's only one, well, there are two words to describe what the Democrats did. Unpatriotic and un-American. We shouldn't be surprised that they are running cover for the Chinese government.
Did you ever hear in the Soviet Union, Lysenko, a Dr. Lysenko? Did you ever hear about this guy? He was actually, he started out as an agriculturist, and he had some ideas about how to make things green. And he became Stalin's favorite go-to guy with questions about agriculture, questions about genetics. He actually posed as a doctor without ever really being right. Yet because the government liked what he said, guess what he did to the Soviet Union? He completely destroyed it. They even let him toy around with people. It's just despicable. The government has embraced one man, and they made him the voice of so-called science and fact when you know the guy's got a history of lying and profiting from it. It's just disgusting.
It's revolting. And, Sean, you are the second person who I have ever heard bring up this Lysenko guy. Uh-huh. And not that I didn't already like you to begin with.
Now you love
the first guy who I heard it from was Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, really?
Good for you, Sean.
Oh, thank you, Drew. I appreciate that. Yes, and from now on, he's Fauci Lysenko. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Robert in Bloomingdale.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Splendid.
It doesn't surprise me. For example, when Senator Paul went up against Fauci or Nancy Pelosi appointing so-called Republicans because with that January 6th.
Robert, I'm not going to.
The whole thing's a joke.
I'm going to let you finish. I'm going to let you finish. But did you see the Republican? Now, think about this. She is the Democrat Speaker of the House, is going to pick the Republicans. So negating the Republican choices. And did you see who she picked?
Adam Kinzinger.
That's my favorite part. That's stupid. And you know what? He's going to win again. And you know why? The Illinois Republican Party cannot pick its head out of its derriere. So it's going to run four people to primary him when really only one should. and he'll be sitting there for as long as he wants laughing at us because he's already shaken down the corrupt corporatists who want to get some of that infrastructure money he pretends not to want. Thank you very much, Robert, for the call. Oh, I cut him off early. Sorry, Robert. We got Lee and Hammond. We can't make Lee wait. Lee.
Hey, Sean.
How are you?
Hey, Sean. Hey, you know, the Democrats not wanting to look at this thing in Wuhan, it's just more, it's like the silence is deafening. They're covering for the deep state, just like the media. Every time the deep state gets its fingers into something, you better believe the Democrats and media are going to cover for them. So that's why they don't want to look at this thing.
So you've got Swalwell. You've got Swalwell, who literally was involved with a Chinese spy. You've got Dianne Feinstein, who was driven around for 20 years by a Chinese spy. You've got the Bank of China investing in Hunter Biden and now buying his art, probably. You've got all this going on, yet there's no call for a special committee, an investigative report, anything. Mum's the word. And when it comes time that I want to see the documentation you already investigated, I want to know, is it true? Were we investing in gain of function? Is this a created weaponized virus? Because if it is, now it kind of explains why your virus has all kinds of failure and all kinds of nonsense. And it also explains why so many people are reluctant to take it, because you lied about everything. Now you're telling me, believe you now? You're not my wife. You're not my kid. You're not my brother. You're some scumbag political whore who, for enough money, I'll get you to juggle knives. That's what you are. And nothing more. 312-642-5600. I'll be back and take your calls. How you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now? As long as Johnny Rockets here to music school, you better not be taking off this week. You hear me? You better not flatten the tires on your car. It's bad enough. I got to listen to this feeble fascist in diapers. I got to at least have good music.
Get vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, even if you do catch the virus, quote unquote, like people talk about it in normal terms, you're an overwhelmed, and not many people do.
Yeah, well, first of all, you're a liar. You've been a scum liar your whole rotten life. And the 158 people here in Illinois that died after the virus, breakout cases. Ooh, got any more nicknames you want to have for failure? You lying scumbag. And by the way, if you say it, I absolutely am not doing it. You could call yourself Gunga Din. I could be in the middle of the desert. I ain't taking the water from you, scumbag. It's just me. I'm silly that way. Jim in Palos Park. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, how are you, Matt? My big question is the biggest question for our country. How did our government con 160,000-plus factories, our middle class, push it over to communist China for 17 cents an hour?
Stop. Wait 1 second. I'm going to help you with this because you're blaming the red herring. And we gotta fix this, because this is a lot of things that a lot of people who listen to Peter Navarro did. And I'm going to tell you right now, brother, Peter Navarro was a con man. Don't blame free trade for our government failure. What our government did, it isn't free trade that was the problem. We would have won that contest, by the way. It was the fact that our government colluded with labor extortion mafia union members to make it unrealistic to have those kind of manufacturing places here in America. So what they did is they did exactly what they're doing to the economy that I spoke about in the first hour. They tried to tell manufacturers that you don't have the freedom to manufacture things. You must follow all of our arbitrary taxation and rules. And by the way, you got to implement this union to your workforce. You couldn't even have your people vote on it. And that's why you drove a steel market to China. Don't blame free trade, though, brother. We would have won that whole thing if it would have been free trade. And I'll tell you another thing. Hong Kong was the way to break the Communist Party in China. We could have partake in free trade with Hong Kong, and you would have exposed capitalism to the Chinese people, who would have overthrown their communist government. I'm telling you right now, it would have worked. You could have had an embargo. You could have had an embargo on slave labor. You can do both, like we did with Cuba. So you have slave labor. We're not going to allow your products. We're not going to consume your products. We could have done that with China and still operated capitalism through the Pacific Rim and enriched all of the other countries and enticed them through capitalism and freedom. So don't buy that tagline by Peter Navarro, because he's another scumbag who just wants to build up prices.
Something as simple as toothpicks.
now you can't even get an American-made toothpick.
Jim, and that's the government's fault, not free trade. But I love these conversations, Jim. I wish we had more time, but I do have Amanda Glenview. I love when the ladies call. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Hi, Sean. I love your show. Love you.
I love the voice. He even sounds sexy. Love it. This is the only kind of flirting my wife will allow because I can't see you. But go ahead.
I just wanted to say I would not be surprised one bit if this whole virus thing was definitely formed in a lab and was formed because the Democrat Party got in bed with China and decided, hey, let's unleash this crazy virus onto the world so that we can get Trump out of office.
Well, let's say that the collusion isn't that deep. But here's what I will say. Aside from the collusion, the government reaction to the virus was only promulgated among force and shutting us down in the name of our own safety. And that's the party that really pushed it. I really do believe Trump had an opportunity to forever win and stay in office if he would have embraced the principles of Americanism. I understand why he didn't and the pressure he's under, but I do believe you're right. They took advantage of the circumstance, whether they were in on it or whatever. That's a sidecar. They definitely took advantage of the opportunity to make you bend your knee and break that American pride we always had, because it wasn't until COVID we realized we're not in charge of anything. We're just slaves. And that's the real shame.
And they ruined our voting system because of it. Well, they ruined the voting system.
Amanda, you're too smart. You understand that was ruined way before. Just look at like areas like Chicago or Cicero or all these other mafia-run hubs. When the doors closed, the people who are dead voted. That's why I have a T-shirt. When I'm dead, don't let me vote Democrat. Thank you.
I
appreciate it. Well, I'm sorry to cut off. I'm not cutting you off because of what you said. I agree. I think the office was usurped to a certain extent, but I think it was stolen in the way that Chicago is run by the Democrat mafia. You've got dead people who have been voting here for decades. Oh, it's only a couple hundred. Oh, it's only here and there. Poppycock. Those are the people you catch. Kind of like the border. You catch 1,000,001 this year. You think those are the only ones that came in? I don't think so. That's exactly what's been happening. And here's the other thing. Amanda, myself, and so many other millions of Americans no longer have faith in the government. We no longer believe you. Now, you could force us, you could intimidate us, you could tax us, you could take our money, but you can't make us believe you. See, that's the thing we all have, judgment. In this country, we used to have representatives that fought for our judgment, fought for our perspective. Now we have one political party that refuses to let us see investigative reports, refuses to give us information. Why? Because they're hiding something. Only somebody who refuses to show you is hiding something. Honest people don't hide things. Corrupt mafias do. And unfortunately, that's what the American Democrat Party is. It's a corrupt mafia. And that's why it hides in the shadows, and that's why it sells artwork. That's why it has Chinese governments back the sons, crackhead sons, by the way, who don't have their teeth, not like us. It's sickening to me. It's time we identify them for what they are. They're not an American political party. They're a mafia. And it's a dirty word, Democrat. I'll be back in 22 hours.
Believe in shooting stars, but she believe in shoes.